What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care, so sit back, relax, and defocus.
Greetings, colleagues. My name is Daryl.
This is Jen.
And today we have a very special guest. This guy's from way up north. It's a friend from Canada, and he goes by the name of Ryan, and he owns the optical shop Specs by Ryan. Ryan, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm all right, man. Doing great. We got no snow. Everything's good. It's perfect. It's a great day.
Nice.
So you guys might be familiar with Specs by Ryan from their really awesome, very graphic Instagram account. They're all over social media, and he's gotten a ton of recognition for the branding and marketing that he's done, in addition to being just a really fantastic optical there in Canada. So Ryan, tell us a little bit about Specs by Ryan and what you do.
Well, it's almost 2 years old. I was working in the industry since 1993 at two different optometric practices. The first one for 4 years, kind of cutting my teeth, getting to know both sides of everything as far as some dispensing and also lab work, and really learned under some really great, great people, like really wonderful mentors. And then I took over an optometric practice as far as the optical side goes when I was like 22, which was quite young, but I felt I was ready for it, and I was, and I did really well. And then for a long time, you get kind of into, well, not say a rut, but in a routine where you go to work, you love what you do so much, and then all of a sudden you have a vacation, and then you come home, and then, oh, you go back to work again. You just keep doing the same thing over and over again. And because I loved what I did so much, and I was starting to introduce some really wicked independent brands to this part of the country, which is really conservative and not really into that kind of thing, I was doing that for my own pleasure and for my own entertainment almost. And then it got to the point where the practice I was working with, we were kind of at odds as far as balance between all the independent stuff and then all the stuff that people might be asking for, and the artist in me just couldn't deal with going with standard kind of collections anymore. I was just too addicted to the independent stuff. So I left there and I opened up my own practice and my own store. It's just me and a couple of young ladies who are young opticians studying to be opticians. So basically could focus on completely being independent, having a cool, fun vibe and an artistic vibe, one where people feel, hey, this is a creative place. I want to come hang out and, you know, I'm going to find something that, geez, you can only find in a major city in the world, but here it is in little Regina, Saskatchewan. So I get to just have fun every day and really introduce people to some stuff that might be a little more expensive, and they've never heard of it before, but they fall in love with it. And then, you know, I still have my old clients from way back when, but everybody seems to be coming back for more. So that's basically it. And I'm just kind of cruising along.
So this is so interesting. You've had Specs by Ryan, you said, for 2 years. I mean, were you profitable in your very first year?
A lot of people were asking me when I was opening, like, are you nervous? Is it scary to open your own business? And I was like, well, I think in a lot of other cases it really would be, but mine, I really had, you know, over 20 years of clientele who would really only come to see me personally. And I knew I had a lot of people ready to support me in my own venture. And so opening up the new store was really quite, you know, I actually just helped the other practice I was at open up a second location, which is a very large one. So I basically did that within a year and a half before that. So I basically had just did it again only for myself, and it was quite simple. But it was the first year, I was kind of shocked because I got this bill in the mail from the government as far as a tax bill, and for a lot of other new businesses, they don't see a big tax bill for their first 5 years. So when I had a fairly chunky one after my first year, I was like, damn. But then I was like, well, I guess that means I did well. So I guess I'm kind of proud to say I had a pretty good first year. and the second
you had to pay up.
it has eclipsed that one a couple months ago already. So get ready, Government of Canada. I'm getting ready to write a big check to you.
So Ryan, let's talk about more of these wicked frames, man. I mean, what is it that you actually carry in your store, and why did you choose these frames?
Oh gosh, I probably don't have time to list all of them, but I wanted a variety of different genres and different price points, and you know, it's very difficult because there's a lot of overlap in certain areas. Like the classic Americana, there's certain overlap, but yet there's still some distinct parts to each collection that you know, it might be similar, yet it's still quite different. So a lot of them I have developed relationships with some of these vendors and artists and you know, designers, I guess, over the years, and I just truly love their vision and I love what they do. Some I'm more successful with others. The ones that I'm not as successful with, I still love them to death. I love them so much, but I might just not sell them every day because they might be a little more challenging for an everyday kind of a sale. But in a nutshell, I'll do it real quick here. I got Blake Kuahara, I got Kubaram, Matsuda, Dita, Andy Wolf, Terry Lazary, Garrett Light, Lindbergh, Barton Pereira, Rapp, Kirk and Kirk, Teo, Kazal, Vinylize, and Shambhala. I have Golden Wood. Like I've got a good blend of everything. I've probably got about 1200 frames here, and I'm not afraid to have too many frames. I really like to be able to help whoever walks in the door. You know, some people you'll find 20 frames that work great for them, and some people you'll find two or three, but also to have somewhat of a budget option for them as well. But I love each and every one of these collections, and I am a collector of collections, but there's a point where I'm pretty tapped out. I like what I have. If something else is going to come my way, it better be pretty special and unique, and how it's going to, you know, I got to figure out how it's going to complement what I carry right now. So yeah, that's about it.
Wow, man, that sounds like eyewear heaven. I don't know what I would do if I actually walked into your office, man. I might never leave. You might have a new employee or a new brother there with you.
Absolutely.
You know, those are a lot of great brands, but I have to ask you, what's your top five brands in the world?
Top five?
Top five, man.
I generally find that as far as sales go, and what's really easy to sell to virtually anybody at any time is Dita.
Okay.
Dita is just a classic. Yeah, there's something about it just makes it really rich and easy to wear for so many people. Same with Barton Pereira, you know, on a little less, Barton Pereira is a little more toned down version. Matsuda also is doing very well. So those are all the classic kind of stuff. Andy Wolf is really great with a lot of the, I deal with a lot of young people. For some reason, I deal with a lot of young nurses, young nurse students. All these women feel very special wearing Andy Wolf, for example. There's something kind of striking about their collection, and now they're going to more of the metals and stuff, the fine metals. It's really, really cool. And sunglasses, I mean, Terry Lazary just kills it every time. Even Garrett Light with his Wilson frame with the clip-ons.
And oh yeah, that's a classic.
A mirrored clips. I mean, I wore a frame like that from like Armani back in '93, and it's exactly the same thing, and it's back. So,
right.
There's definitely some common ones there. Lindbergh is on fire right now. Like they've really stepped up their game for more of a youthful approach as opposed to just so, you know, older and conservative. It's they've got some striking looks for young people as well. So yeah, they're all evolving.
And what's your favorite out of all the designers, your personal favorite?
Oh geez, oh man,
putting you on the spot, man.
Well, I would say personally for me, what I enjoy wearing are my Matsudas. I have a sunglass frame that, because I have a larger face, that I popped out the lenses and I put a transitions vantage lens in, which has a little more of a depth of color. So it wasn't too much of a shock to wear a sunglass frame as a clear, and it goes dark, of course. So That's probably my favorite personally for me. I also wear a lot of Lindberg as well. There's some cool new styles, but and or green as well. So you know, I'm a certain kind of a fit, and that's again with somebody who's I had somebody in earlier today who's so petite, and she's like, I can't find anything anywhere. And we found probably 10 frames that were all like A plus type selections. It's just, you know, picking the right one. And then same thing for a guy like me, or someone who's a little taller. I'm 6'4". And, you know, there's some people who need extra large frames. And we feel we have the collections to help people with those too. Because middle of the road is all taken care of. It's easy. It's fine. But I really want... I love it when somebody comes in and says, oh, I've been looking everywhere. Nothing fits me. And we're just like, boom, you not only have one or two, but you got 4, 5, 6, or 7, maybe 10 choices. And now we're going to confuse you. So, yeah.
I liked what you talked about earlier, how you had turned a sunglass frame into your ophthalmic. That's been my little style secret lately too. I feel like that's the way to go right now. If you're wanting to look a little different, look a little cool. There's so many cool suns right now that look great as ophthalmics.
Right. Most definitely. Absolutely. I mean, yeah. In my store, again, I feel it's a very creative environment. Nothing has to be what it seems. You have to see things differently. You have to take an idea and expand on it. It doesn't have to be what you think it is. And that's where we do a lot of ophthalmic in actual sun frames and vice versa. So, again, you know, you play with some transitions as well, and it just really, you know, takes it to a different level. So, it's all about being creative and offering, it's my way of being artistic. People quite often would ask me, why don't you come up with your own collection, or why don't you design your own collection? And I'm like, I have zero desire to design a collection. I couldn't stick to one genre. I love all these different genres so much. I'm more than happy to play with what these wonderful designer friends of mine have come up with and kind of modify things as I see fit. So just, you know, so many times people get stuck in a rut of, well, this is like this, so it has to be like that. And it's not the case. And the same thing goes with prescriptions. I mean, you're given a certain prescription and you're, you know, with an ad power and, you know, so many people think, oh, I have to use a progressive for this. Well, no, you can use an anti-fatigue style lens or an office lens, or there's all sorts of things to play around with and customize it for your client and, you know, give them different solutions depending on their needs. So,
yeah, I strongly agree with you when it comes to choosing the appropriate lens. I always tell everyone that I write prescriptions per lifestyle. So, you know, if you're sitting in front of the computer, maybe anti-fatigue lens or computer lens. If you're outside running, then you may want a certain color tint to enhance the activity. Same thing with playing golf. You know, I always do digging of their lifestyle as far as occupation, their hobbies, you know, if they have children, you name it. And it makes a world of difference, because when you do that, you're not selling to someone. You're indirectly selling, and you're just solving a problem to accommodate their lifestyle.
Yeah, totally.
So we talked a little bit about how you are styling clients when they come in. Do you have a method? You know, there's so many ideas behind, like, oh, you look at face shape or their skin color. Are they a warm? Are they cold? Like, what's your method when you start grabbing for a patient?
Well, I can't say there's a certain, we'll say, method, as opposed to you kind of grab their vibe and go with it. Somebody who's really, really conservative and just like really almost shy, and there's the person who comes in and, you know, they're used to going into a place and they just don't want any help at all, which around here doesn't fly too much with me, because I have everything in drawers, and, you know, some people walk in here and they'll just kind of look around and go, oh, I don't see anything I like, and then they're gone. I'm like, okay, well, you just totally missed out on a world-class selection here. But you kind of ride their vibe and kind of, I like to really become friendly to the point where they get comfortable, just to have this other human being kind of interact with them, and you just start playing around. And I always, you know, with those people, maybe start really conservative. I find stuff maybe as close as I can to what they have, and just kind of warm them up to seeing something different on their eye, on their face. Because when they look in the mirror, that's a whole different picture than what they're used to. And and they are just freaked out. And so you want to get them kind of comfortable. And then after a while, you kind of, you know, throw some other little ideas here and there and make them think a little bit. And it's about making them comfortable. And then the next person comes in and they're just like guns ablaze and they want this and that and everything. And that's a lot more easy and fun sometimes. However, it's trying to get them focused on a look that, you know, really would suit them the best. And then there's those some of the most challenging ones are those who have a face shape and a style that could wear like 50 different frames in here. And then it's like trying to narrow it down to something that, you know, so they actually can choose something and not get so visually, you know, overloaded that they can't even decide on something. So it's trying to focus the client, keep them focused on the very end game here and actually saying, hey, we can find something today and we'll choose something today and get you comfortable. And if I like to find their comfort level, and I tell them this, here's your comfort level. I kind of, you know, with my hand kind of hold, make a line in the air. And then I go, and then with the other hand, I like to go just a little bit above that. Like I want to just go a little bit beyond what you're comfortable with. And it works. It's what I've been doing for so long. Just ride with me. You will love it. Like everybody comes back and then says, oh my God, I love what I picked. And everyone loves what I picked and blah, blah, blah. And then I get to say, I told you, you know, so, everyone's different, but it's all about kind of reading the client and kind of jumping on their vibe and then kind of getting them to loosen up a little bit and feel comfortable looking in the mirror at this strange person that they don't recognize.
So what's hot right now in regards to frame colors, lens colors? Like, what are you seeing with your day-to-day activities with these clients?
What I've been starting to see, almost not that long after I opened, again, with the fine metals, again, I think people are a little bit over the thick, chunky plastics all the time, although they're still fine. There's nothing wrong with them. The thinner wires, I think, are really, really cool. And then a little bit of, you know, tints. And I think, in general, most people are a little easier going with something like a transitions tint where it is clear inside and then it goes dark, and as opposed to having a static gradient tint or something, I mean, that I'm able to wear because I have umpteen pairs of glasses and I can wear that, you know, once in a while. But the thin wires, and that's why Lindberg has been very strong again, because they're coming with some really thin aviators that, for, you know, and round shapes but ultra fine titaniums that you don't see a whole lot on the face, but what you do see is really, really outstanding. And that's why Garrett Light is really strong right now. That's why a lot of the Matsudas with their detailing are very strong. Even Dita's gone to a lot more of the finer metals. Most of the brands have, actually. So it's Gaudi's another strong one for me. Generally, the metals are kind of fun for a change. And I think, you know, when we're all used to selling this, you know, helping people with the same stuff over and over again, it's just refreshing for us too. But being where I am is in kind of the Midwest of Canada, it's one of those things where I'm bringing, we'll say, big city styles to kind of an agricultural community. And some people get it, some people don't. But we do have a lot of people who do travel. They are worldly people. They go to big centers and stuff. So what I like to say is I'm bringing the big city styles here where they can feel, you know, even though we live here, it's a great place, but we can still feel more big city than we are. And that's kind of my whole goal. And that's why I love when I know every other place in town carries all of the major brand names that everyone's heard of. And then people come in here and then they, you know, they get something from me. And then later on, I hear they get a lot of comments. Like, oh, you must've got those at Specs. You must've, you know, there's a signature kind of a look for me. So that's very exciting.
So what's fascinating to me, Ryan, is you were talking about you're kind of in a more rural, more agricultural community. Have you had trouble with people accepting the price points of these great designers, or has that really been a non-issue?
No, there always will be. There's just always been that stigma with people where glasses just shouldn't cost this much or so much. And yet then they'll go and spend, you know, $600 on shoes or a handbag or something. And then they don't even think about it. it still amazes me how there's going to be somebody who's very, very low income who will scrape and, you know, scratch to get as, you know, whatever they can to get the frame that they really love. And then there's somebody coming in here who, you know, makes a huge salary or had a huge career and has more money than you can imagine, and's asking for, you know, can you give me a break on the frame, which disgusts me. You know, it just, like, you know, that's not what we're about. Either you like this stuff or you don't. If you don't like it, then there's Walmart over there, or there's a 2-for-1 over there, and, you know, get something there. But it's always an educational thing, again, because we're selling stuff that they've never heard of that's more expensive. Now, I tell this story very often where I have clients that have come in that I've helped them maybe 8-10 years ago, and they come in, they go, see, I still have this frame. I still really like it. I'm like, yeah, see, you spent a little bit more on it, but you've gotten 3 or 4 times more wear out of it than anything else that you would probably have thrown out. These are not disposable. I want people to have the frames that I help them with 10, 20, 30 years down the road. Now, they might not wear them all the time. They might be going in the drawer for a while because styles might change. But then, man, when that style comes back, that's how vintage happens. So we're kind of making vintage happen every day.
That's awesome. Such a good way of looking at it, too, because we, I think, are getting a kickback in society from fast fashion and disposable fashion. So investing in, like, real fashion pieces, that's a movement I think it's great to be a part of right now.
It truly is. And it's exciting. It's really exciting to see, you know, when people come in, they have a bunch of old frames. I sold them a long time ago. And I say, bring them in. Let's have a look. Let's dust them off. Let's polish them up. And let's see if we can keep you going on them. So
Ryan, earlier Jen mentioned your success in social media. I want to revisit that. You know, being a social media management company, whenever I see an eye care professional mastering the art of social media, it brings a big smile to my face because a lot of folks don't get it. I would love for you to share some tips or some gems to our listeners in regards to how to be successful with social media.
Social media, I feel, has really been important because it's relevant. And it means something. It basically, looking at the rest of media these days, you know, who reads a newspaper anymore? Who listens to a radio anymore? You know, who's going to catch a TV ad? All that kind of stuff. It's so hard. And social media is free. It's accessible. You get to see, you have instant gratification. You get to see who, you know, who likes what you're doing, how many people are liking what you're doing. And you get to interact with people. You get to tag people or that kind of a thing. So to me, it's the most fun part of what I do because it is kind of neat to see who digs on what we're doing and you know, that kind of stuff. So, you know, what are we going to shoot next? What are we going to take to our followers to keep them interested? How are we going to make them feel, holy smoke, this is really, really a cool place to go? They may not need glasses today or tomorrow, but maybe next month or the month after, the month that, who knows, next year. But when they keep seeing our stuff plastered and they see their friends wearing it, they see their relatives wearing it, they see prominent people wearing it, then it's like they're going to come in here and check it out. So it's just a lot of fun.
So your social media accounts, like the imaging you use, it's edgy, it's provocative. It definitely grabs attention. How did you get those sort of imagery? Are you the photographer? Did you hire a photographer? And it really is artistic.
Yeah, no, it's me. It's
oh,
me.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's really good.
Thank you. I'm lucky enough to have couple really pretty girls working for me and stuff, and they're also very, very good at selfies, and that's where a lot of young women are really good at selfies. So some of them are their selfies, and a lot of them are me taking photos of them, and you know, basically, thank goodness for the whole digital era, because I could just take a whole whack of photos, and then there's always one gem in there somewhere. And every day, like I kind of wonder what I'm going to do different than I did yesterday or last week or the week before. And I can't explain it. Just something happens. And it's just about taking some time to go, okay, let's go just do it. Let's go shoot something. What are you wearing? Okay, let's pick a frame out. Okay, something new. What have we not posted recently? Let's try something different. Okay, and then either we're outside or we're inside or we're capturing different light or whatever. And or it's myself doing one. I just did one of myself today. But quite often it's also people who just pick up their glasses. And now we're not as litigious as you guys are down in the States, but basically it's pretty easy for me to say, hey, do you mind if I get a picture of you wearing this so we can show what all the cool kids are wearing, you know? And people are really obliging, and you know, I'll take them out and I'll take a photo and then I'll play around with it and then I'll post it and tag them in it, and then their friends see it, and so that networking is so strong. When people say, oh my God, that's Brad, he's wearing something from Specs. Oh geez, maybe I can go there. Or you know, I should go check it out. Or, you know, it's so strong when you see real people wearing my stuff. So it's okay when I have my girls who work here and myself wearing stuff from time to time. But it's really, I think it's a chord when we have actual clients wearing stuff, big smiles on, and they're just thrilled. And then their network of people get to see it, and then they share it, and they share it. So that's why social media is so strong. And I really find Instagram the strongest out of all of them. Twitter does absolutely nothing for me. And even Facebook is pretty meh. Facebook's more personal for me and you know, catching up with family and friends. But it doesn't really have a big impact on the business. But Instagram is super strong. I get so many girls, anybody, yeah, exactly, but coming in, I saw this on Instagram, do you have it? I'm like, no, that person bought it. It's gone, but let's find something else.
How much time do you feel like every day that you put aside for photography for Instagram? Is it like something you book, I'm going to do this for an hour?
No, we just every day, because we're not scheduled like optometrists. We're, you know, it's like there's moments where there's a lull or whatever, and we're just playing around, and oh, we got these new frames in, and let's look at this. So it could be as quick as like 5 minutes. It could be half hour, 45 minutes before we get something going. But it depends on the traffic in here. If it's really, really busy, it's a little tougher. And then there's sometimes when it's really slow, I get a bunch of stuff going and I bank it. So I might not post it all right away, but I might leave it for later when it is a slower time or a weekend or something. I can't really, there's no structure. I totally wing it, and I like to get a post in first thing in the morning or at 8 o'clock, and then one around lunchtime, and then one around dinner time. So and not just, I think that's enough to keep people interested, to catch it without spamming them. And because I find by the time I put the one together at dinner time, at supper, it's the one I did at lunchtime has fizzled out. It's been buried so deep amongst all their other feeds. So 2 to 3 a day is pretty good.
Yeah, your Instagram, I'm constantly stalking it, man, because of course you have some beautiful faces with some beautiful eyewear on there. But this past weekend, I really enjoyed it because I saw that you had a trunk show and you were featuring Barton Piera. That's one of my favorite brands there. Could you tell us some of the tips that you usually have when it comes to a trunk show and how to be successful?
Yeah, well, trunk shows even for me are hit and miss. And it's like planning a party. You just hope people show up and have a good time. And you just never, there's never any guarantees. And again, I'm not really into traditional advertising, but I'm getting together a monthly newsletter going. I use Constant Contact as far as a mail service, but I've never really used it to its full capability. But I want to. I've got a creative friend who's helping me with a custom newsletter that I'll put out once a month, kind of indicating some of the events that we're doing or different things going on during the month. And so, other than that, I did put out to our email list, about a week in advance, news of this event. And we had one 2 weeks ago for Matsuda as well. And because there's a lot of people who don't follow social media or Instagram or anything. I have a lot of clientele in their 50s and 60s who just don't do that. But I've had feedback. One of my great clients from a long time said, I don't do any of that stuff, but send me an email. Just send me an email and then I'll know and I'll do whatever. And sure enough, I'm getting a little more of that crowd coming out for these events too. So that's my way of communicating with them. And then I do, the week leading up, I really try to, build up that brand, you know, at least a little bit every day with certain images and stuff, just to give people a taste of what they're in for when they come check it out. So again, it's no different. I just kind of focus a little more on that particular brand because you are having an event. You want people to show up. I want to remind them the time, the day, all that kind of stuff. And it seems to help. It seems to be good. So we had a great day on Saturday. It started off a little slow, but man, it finished really, really strong. And the Matsuda show was monstrous as well. It was great. But you can't do these things that often. Otherwise, it just becomes white noise to people. So it's got to be special. It's got to be unique. And just keep people interested without bothering them. Is my advice.
I feel like if you are just hearing about his trunk shows on our podcast right now, I mean, this guy throws a trunk show like it's a red carpet event. So you've got to check out some of the images. I mean, really, it's like when I'm looking at your Instagram account and I saw your trunk show, I was like, I feel like you're a celebrity. All the opticians are celebrities. The designer's a celebrity. Like, you want to be there because all the cool, most fabulous people are there in Saskatchewan. Yeah. And it's the place to be. I think that's something that people can really get inspired by. Like, you've got to really go out there and really throw an event if you want to make a trunk show successful, I think.
It's, again, there's a lot of stress because there's no guarantee. But I don't have a lot of sales reps coming to this part of the country because they don't have many clients around our area. So, you know, most of my vendors that I deal with, I just end up seeing them in Vegas or New York. And it's fine. I'm good to see them every 6 months. A little top up in between here and there over the phone or whatever is fine. But I am lucky to have a couple reps come out, once, twice a year. And when they do come out, they got no one else to see. So they hang out here for the day and we make an event out of it. So that's what makes it kind of special. I'm trying to introduce these brands that people haven't heard of, but really in our industry are really a big deal, and let them know that, hey, it's not a Prada or a Gucci or a, you know, D&G or whatever, because, you know, but it means so much more. And once people get to see that and feel it, then they really become big fans of that brand, and they get to know it, and they want to see, you know, the next time we have a trunk show, they'll come in and want to see what's new, and they connect with the brand that they're wearing. And especially too, when I post stuff of them wearing these brands like Barton Pereira. It's just so nice to see somebody like Patty Pereira, the designer, like that photo and comment on it. That means so much to the end user. And I've told Patty this. I said, it means so much to the end user when you care as much about somebody in Regina, Saskatchewan wearing your frame as you do Brad Pitt wearing it on the cover of, you know, GQ or something like that. And people just find that they've got this royalty making a comment on them. So I love that part of this industry where we're able to be that in between Hollywood red carpet and Regina, Saskatchewan, for example. And it where people can feel that they are special too, you know, and they are their own celebrity.
Yeah, I really like Patty. She's real down to earth. Every time that I've had dialogue with her, I've just enjoyed the conversation, and she treats you just like you're your best friend. I mean, Patty, if you're listening, we got to get you on the show soon, all right?
Absolutely. Love you, Patty.
So, Ryan, congratulations, by the way. This past year, you were named one of the visionaries with Vision Expo. So tell me a little bit about that experience.
Oh, yeah, I was very, very honored. You know, again, I've been around the business for a long, long time, but it seemed that I've a little more spotlight on me since I've opened my own store, and I've had to be even more visible because I'm a firm believer that nothing's going to just fall in your lap. You've got to, you know, make it happen, which it happens to be my motto in life is make it happen. So when I opened, I had to be a lot more out there and visible in the whole industry. And it was nice to be recognized for that and had a little photo shoot and a little interview and such. And it just feels good because I'm very lucky to do what I love. This is not work for me, and this is absolutely fun. I just feel so bad for people who have to go to work every day and just fight through that 7-8 hours of cubicle work or whatever it is, and then go home and then know that they're dreading the next day of going back to work, but it's a paycheck and they have to do it. Whereas I'm just like, damn, I'm gonna go have fun today. I'm gonna go, have fun with some nice people and change their lives and upgrade their lives and that kind of a thing. So to be recognized as a visionary for basically just having fun every day is pretty cool. And I really appreciate it. And I've met so many great people in this industry, and that's why I love going to Vegas and New York. And one day I'll get to Europe when I have some time.
Awesome, man. Well, next time I'm due for a new pair of eyewear, I might have to make that flight up there, man, and have you style me.
Oh, we could probably help you out there, Daryl. No problem. Absolutely.
We just have to make sure it's when there's the weather is right. I mean, is it snowing full time up there, or like what's the typical weather?
Dry as a bone. I got a light coat. Like, I don't know. El Nino is my friend right now, man. I love it. Global warming is all right by me right now. I'm good. So we had a crazy warm winter last year, and which is almost scary in a way. But again, when you grow up knowing there's like, 10 feet of snow everywhere, and minus 40 degrees all the time, so we're enjoying some good times right now, but hopefully not at the expense of too much in the big picture. But anyway, it's we're gonna have basically December, January, February of winter, and then it's back to good times, back on the lake in the summer.
Nice, very nice. Yeah, that minus 40, that doesn't sound too fun. I'm from the South, man, and we don't like that type of weather.
I was about to say, like, is a warm winter, is that like 0 degrees? Because that sounds pretty terrible.
Yeah, we're right around 0 Celsius right now, very much so, yeah. Barely freezing. Yeah, barely freezing. We have, part of our, we'll say, isolation, people are very warm-hearted, and again, it's not sometimes for some of our winters, it's not the easiest place to live. But when we have four true seasons, we really appreciate our summers so much more. Fall is always a very nice time to just chill out. And then basically we hibernate a lot in the winter if it's really, really cold, or, we get out once in a while, of course, but we truly appreciate spring and summer so much more. So and that's why we have a wonderful little airport that takes us to all these warm destinations in the wintertime if it does get ugly, and other places where, again, people become more worldly and see what's going on in these major centers, and then they come back and they want eyewear from me. So it seems to be working.
So, that's interesting. You were mentioning, if it gets too cold, people start to scatter all over the place. How does that impact your business? How do you account for that when you're budgeting or crunching numbers on how much you're going to produce in a year? Like, how do you factor all that in?
I can't. It's just such an unknown. There's no way you can predict or anything. I do have one client who has dropped. Since I've opened, he's spent about $60,000 with.
Oh my gosh!
That's a pretty good client.
You might want to marry them.
I've helped him for years, but he loves helping small business. He's an eyewear fanatic. He travels the world. He's texted me from Boston, going, "Hey Ryan, do you have this frame?" I'm like, "Yeah, okay." You have this frame? Yeah. You have this frame? Yeah. Okay, then hold them for me. I'll be back, on Tuesday. And
oh, wow.
Him, it legitimized everything that I'm doing here, that we are world class. We are doing really cool things. And you don't have to go to a major center like that to get something really, really cool and world class. So But anyway, you know, he went to Hawaii in April, and I was ready to text him and say, you know, I'm going to have to close my doors. If you're not going to be around, I don't know what, I might as well just shut him down. And we had a big laugh about that because he picks something up, and while he's picking it up, he wants to know what's new, and he'll try something new and take two of them or three, you know, like, again, in Regina, there's only certain amounts of places you can spend your money and on what, you know, so for him on a Saturday, you know, it just, he gets the endorphins going when he's shopping, and it feels good. And he loves the ladies that work here and myself. And we just always have a good time. And he just feels good spending money on a local business, and thank goodness for him. But, basically snowbirds, when they go away, down Arizona, Hawaii, Palm Springs, whatever, you know, I'll see them at some point. It doesn't have to be, you know, when they're gone. It has nothing to do with my budgeting whatsoever.
Okay.
So, Ryan, what's next for you? What's the big thing that you're excited about coming up in 2017?
Well, I'm waiting for the cloning device to happen. So far, that's been delayed a lot because... I really want to expand into another city in Saskatchewan called Saskatoon, which is a very big center. It's a little bigger than Regina, but it's a big center for creativity, for money. Like, Regina is more of a government town, so it's a lot more conservative, and people are more on, you know, kind of fixed income, so to speak. Whereas Saskatoon is a lot more free enterprise, and there's big business, there's mining, there's a lot of big corporate executives there. But also a real vibrant university town as well. So I did a pop-up there in October, and I'm planning on doing maybe another one, or even actually just opening up a location and only going there every 2 weeks myself, just for like mini pop-ups. There's a location I have my eye on, and I don't want it to go away. So in our province, you need to be licensed. So, you know, having another licensed person is the first big step, but then having a licensed person who knows what the heck we are actually dealing with is a whole other ballgame. This is all very special product. They all have a story. There has to be a very passion about it and knowledge. Again, bringing something that people haven't heard of that's more expensive. So that's my big focus right now is growing into one more location in Saskatoon, and maybe even perhaps into the States with certain you know, partnerships that we can work with, you know, bringing the vibe of Specs by Ryan, which is, again, all about fun and creativity you know, having a time where people can feel loose and feel, hey, I can go outside of my comfort zone a little bit and be pretty excited about it. So, I would love to take this concept to others and help them with it, because there's just too many, and that's where there's the opportunity. There's just too many old, tired, stagnant practices out there with all the frame bars. There's just, that's what most of the industry is all about. But if you can create an environment where people go, whoa, I feel young, I feel cool. That's what everyone wants. Nobody wants to feel older unless you're a 16-year-old girl. Feeling young, looking young. I don't want any of my stores to ever look like an optical store. It should just be a fun place to come hang out, you know, have a chat, sit down, you know, whatever. We'll have a shot. I don't care. Well, let's just have some fun. So, and that's what people really dig on.
So, Ryan, where can folks find you at? What's the best way to follow you and get in touch with you?
Well, at all the, Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, it's all at Specs by Ryan, all one word, SpecsByRyan. And if anybody ever has any questions, they can message me through there or whatever. And if they need anything, they're looking for a certain brand or whatever, I'm more than happy to chat, get to know your followers.
Brian, thank you so much for your time today. I have to say, like, the last thing you were talking about is such a vision for the future. If anybody is like feeling down about eyewear or about optometry, I mean, tell me that doesn't inspire you. Like, that's exciting. I would love to walk into my office and have my optical feel like that. So I feel like you're on the wave of the future right now, and there are a ton of young ODs and opticians and everybody out there that can't wait to follow your lead on this one and kind of revolutionize the industry.
Well, I'd be glad to help anyone if they have any questions or whatever, and looking for some direction. I'm more than open to doing that, so I'm here.
Awesome. Thanks again, man.
You're welcome. Thanks, you guys. It's a lot of fun.
Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast and remember, we keep it 2020 around here, pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.